MMA Roadshow, episode number 183. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee not with me tonight. Cole Coffee is on vacation. I think maybe the first time ever I kind of remember him taking a vacation with his girl and seeing the family. But we got a special guest here that makes it even better. The magnificent one himself, Steven Morocco, here with me in San Jose, California for Bellator 206. Musasi versus McDonald. Let's just lay it out on the table right now. Let's set the scene. We are chilling at an Airbnb this week. The hotels in San Jose are a little bit out of the MMA junkie price range. So we found ourselves a nice little Airbnb. It's nice. Mr. Morocco is not incredibly satisfied with the location. But it's a fine property that we're in here. And of course we are having frosty beverages as we do, but let's make it very clear. I am the common man here with the Coors Light, just doing it like I do. And you, sir, the craft IPA, I imagine.
Yeah, the true Portland hipster here. This is actually called Drake's Denogonizer. It's a double IPA. When I lived in the Bay Area about a year ago, this is what I drank all the time. And so I'm going down memory lane.
Nice. And that was available at the corner liquor store over here?
It's a pretty popular beer down here.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Yeah, it is. You know, we don't have a lot of restaurants around us, so that's one of the reasons you're not.
We have liquor stores,
but we've got liquor stores.
And we've got gas stations.
And it's the perfect like corner liquor store. You know that you see. It's and they've crammed quite a bit of stuff in there.
They have. And we're determined to sample a little bit of it.
Damn right we are. All right, let's talk about this Bellator 206 card. I mean, just right on paper, just looking off the top, we were kind of talking about this week. Best Bellator card in history? I mean, is that – and listen, I know it's always tough to say greatest, best, because – I mean, come on. Do we really remember the previous 205 cards by memory at this
really
point?
We really don't.
No, absolutely do not. But, I mean, it's got to be at least one of, right? I mean, this is a fun card.
Sure, definitely tentpole, first super fight in history. Champ versus champ. They don't usually do that. And also the welterweight Grand Prix. Then the big old, it's like a big old nostalgia sandwich, basically, because we've got, you know, the competitive super fight, the welterweight Grand Prix, and then sandwiched in the middle is Jackson Silva 4.
Yeah.
So it's kind of something for everyone. And then you got Pico. The new one, Melendez and Bolanos, those are two kind of like appetizers.
Yeah.
You know, up-and-comers. But super solid card.
I love it, man. I really do feel like this is a big moment for him. And I don't know. As you said, it's a little something for everybody. And I just, for some reason to me, I feel like all the pieces are finally coming together for Bellator. I don't know what it is about this card, but I feel like now, because maybe it is because it's a little bit of everything. I mean, the super fight, as you said, Gegard Roy. If this was in the UFC, right? I mean, this could be a UFC main event, right? I mean,
sure. We'd
be like, maybe not a pay-per-view, but, you know, at least a nice fight night. We'd be like, wow, that's a great one. You know, so you got that. You got legitimate top-ranked fighters. You have Rampage and Vanderlei, which Bellator does like to do the classic fights. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, that's probably the fight I'm least excited about, but for the casual fans, that's the one they're tuning in for more than anything else, right? I mean, those names still click.
You know, I would say for casuals, I would probably put Liddell Ortiz over that in terms of the casual recognition. It's like if you followed MMA in the early 2000s and you were aware of Pride and what was going on there and the depth of that rivalry at the time, how much it meant when they actually fought. It was a big deal. But it's a big deal for us in the bubble. Like, you know, Liddell and Ortiz is probably they'll probably get a lot of people to tune into that, or a lot more than if they put Rampage versus Silva on a pay-per-view by themselves.
You think Liddell Ortiz is going to do good via pay-per-view, though? I feel like our traffic is going to be good because people are going to know what's going on. I don't feel like people are going to – I mean, do we know – is it $60?
I guess what I'm saying is that I think that more people would buy Liddell Ortiz than they would Silva, you know, Rampage on its own.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to do well because I think there's – you know, fans are not stupid, you know, even the casuals.
Yeah.
It's still a super fun fight. I mean, it's you know, in terms of like you said, you it's like the last the one you wanted to see least, and I'm kind of on the same page with you. I it's kind of like a step, a very slight step above Liddell Ortiz 3.
Yeah. And no disrespect to those guys. I mean, they are legends of the sport, man. Like, it's still cool. Like, for us to go there today and talk to Rand, you know, you had a 10-minute conversation with Rampage, and he was in good spirits. You know, you talked to Vanderlei, and he's – I mean, they're still legends. Like, it's still cool to be around them, but it just don't feel like – it's and it's a heavyweight fight on top of that. I mean, I just don't feel like we're talking about these two guys at their prime, at their best. But it's still cool to see them.
Yeah, I mean, I like both of those guys. Personally, I think they're great interviews, and I think they're fun to talk to. And yeah, they are legends of the sport. Nobody can take that away from them.
Absolutely.
It's not, has nothing to do with like how I feel about them personally. It's more just a, you know, I'm just a cranky journalist, and and I you know, want to see people thrive in their later life. They already have it tough enough, you know, doing this for a living. And, you know, I just worry, you know, a guy like Silva who's been knocked out several times, what obviously did fine against Chael, but that's a different kind of fighter. You know, I don't want to see that guy laid out on the canvas again.
Right.
I like him a lot. You know, I think he's a very likable guy, and I don't want to see him laid out on the canvas. I think Jackson is a much more competitive fighter at this point. So, you know, it'll be a car crash, and we'll watch, you know.
That's it. You got that. You got Korshkov versus Lima kicking off the welterweight Grand Prix. We've got, as you said, Higo versus Pico is a good fight, man. I know maybe a lot of people may not necessarily know the name Leandro Higo, but he's been around. He's fought some tough dudes. This is a real test for Aaron Pico. And, you know, I think, you know, I think that's a good fight. And then Kerry Melendez and Gaston Bolanos, I think those are the two you're focused on in those fights. Not that you can take away from the others, but listen – Scott Coker has a history of matchmaking where it is, you know, the fighter versus the opponent. And we know who the two fighters are in those matchups.
Yeah, and actually that should tell you something about the Pico versus Higo match, because Leander's a legit dude.
Yep.
And he's fought some legit guys and hasn't gotten any breaks when it comes to, you know, who he's fought since he's moved to Bellator. So the fact that they're willing to put him with that guy, obviously he's coming up a weight division, and it's probably not his... I mean, it's obviously not his chosen weight class. He said he was going to go back to bantamweight. But they're trying to give him guys that have a lot more experience. And Higo is definitely that guy. And in this case, they're putting the question is, you know, can he overcome this submission guy, this great submission guy? I would say that his style matches up very favorably. It's still a very favorable matchup in terms of how... you know, he's a boxer and a wrestler. You know, the jiu-jitsu guys, you know, depending on how they do things, tend to come out behind in that equation a lot. But it's still, I feel like it's a much more competitive fight than he's had in previous times.
I agree. All right, so overall, I like this card a lot. I mean, you could go through the prelims, but let's be honest, Bellator still does the local ticket sellers on the prelim. I know today we were in an Uber, and the Uber driver's like, "Ah, my buddy's fighting on the card," you know. So, you know, that's how they do, and there's nothing wrong with that. You gotta get the tickets sold, but I think we'll be focused on the main card. Cool to see. It's a 6-fight main card. They added that Gaston Bolanos fight to the main card, which I think he deserves it, man. He's exciting. I think he's got real upside. And you and I were at dinner last night, and we ran into some Bellator officials and said, "Hey, well, you know, why'd you do that?" I said, "Bro, it's the zone. We can do whatever we want."
Yeah.
You know, it is
kind
of cool. Like with Paramount, you don't have that flexibility. They've got that TV window, and you can only fit so much. And now they're like, "We're streaming this stuff, so we just decided to do what the hell we wanted." And I think that's cool. So I wanted to kind of start there and get your take, because I know you key into the business side of things, and you had a chance to talk to some, you know, DAZN people. This is the big debut. Now, the Boise card did stream on DAZN, but it was a soft launch. They didn't even advertise it to anybody. I think it was more just like testing the capabilities. This is the big coming out party, and of course, that one was on Paramount as well. This one is only on DAZN. So for everybody that doesn't know, if you haven't signed up, you need to get signed up. You can't watch this on TV. You can only watch it on DAZN. You can get this for free. They're giving away a free month. So you can try it out. So you're not going to have to give up any money. But give me your take, man. It's a weird time for MMA. So much MMA is going behind a paywall. You know, I mean, ESPN, we know that deal with the UFC, and so much of it's going on ESPN+. Plus, we just found out today that the UFC's deal in the UK isn't even with a terrestrial broadcast partner. It's with an online streaming partner. I mean, I guess this is the future that we've known we were going to, right? I mean, how long has Dana White been saying, guys, I'm telling you, I remember those conversations, you know, a decade ago when he was like, I don't know what it's going to be.
Everything's going to be in it on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, originally that, he's like, I don't know how it's going to do it, but it's going to be, he saw it. I mean, that company knew that. Of course, they weren't the only ones. A lot of people have known this. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess, so we've all said this is the future. Now we're getting to the future. I'm 40 years old, so maybe it seems scary to me, but I don't know, man. This seems like a scary proposition. Just as I say, it feels like everything's coming together for Bellator, right? The grassroots people that they're hiring are finally kind of maturing, a la AJ McKee last week. You know, they're stars, they're free agents. There's finally enough free agents that you can make, you know, big fights against each other. I mean, all these things, they're all positive, but I'm scared, man. You put this thing behind a $10 a month paywall. I mean, what's your take on this? Is this scary to you, or is this just the future that we all need to embrace?
Well, I mean, it just seems like the trend is that it's gonna get more expensive yet again to be an MMA fan. And if you really want to keep up to date on the sport, you're gonna have to add a lot of subscriptions. What you may be taking away though is that cable bill,
right?
Which is pretty significant.
True.
For a lot of people, especially if you want the sports packages that, you know, have all the, you know, the FS1 and FS1 2, you know, add-ons. That can be pretty expensive. I have Hulu now, and that's the way I get FS1 and FS2. That's
okay.
And before I was, you know, I mean, I've been a cord cutter for, you know, 5-6 years.
Okay, so,
so to
you, maybe this doesn't seem like such a big deal.
No, it's not. It's who offers the best value, and I think that DAZN is making the play that they're going to hook people with combat sports,
right,
and keep them around with other sports. What sports those are, how that comes into play, I'm not exactly sure, because according to the information we already have, you know, the other major sporting leagues aren't really on the market yet.
Right.
They're not on the market for several years.
Right.
So I don't know if they're just, you know, sort of putting together this sort of piecemeal presence of other more, you know, mainstream domestic sports, and that's the way they're going to sort of prop up their numbers.
Because in Canada, I believe, and I think some other markets as well, I mean, they like carry the NFL, right? I mean,
right.
It's like
Bond was saying that.
Yeah, it's like the Sunday ticket or whatever for this. I think it's a little more expensive up there for him, if I remember right. Not a ton more, but I mean, you get all the NFL. I mean, hell, I pay, you know, like $300 a year to get the Sunday ticket, and I don't even really watch it that much anymore. It's just, I don't know, I've always had it, so I keep it. I mean, so it's going to be a while before they can get stuff like that. And I played around with the DAZN app the other day. I downloaded it. I watched the Joshua fight on there.
How was the pacing?
Good. And, you know, it was good. You know, first of all, the stream looked phenomenal. I'll say this. The technology was good. The interface was really easy to navigate. You know, it wasn't some kind of menu-heavy, difficult-to-find stuff. You know, it looked like they had a bunch of international soccer and some other things. But it was weird to me because – and this is something I'm interested to see because – you know, Fight Pass now has a 24/7 stream running, so that even if you tune in and you don't know what you want to watch, there's at least something going all the time. I know this is more about live sports than it is about archive content, but I wonder, because it is weird. You pull up the DAZN and they have like a schedule, and you pull up certain days and there's just nothing on there. You know what I mean? It literally says nothing scheduled. So it's like, well, why? You know, I feel like that's going to be a little bit, because you want to keep the repetition, right? Like make it a habit to log in or check in or whatever. So I'm going to be interested to see how they address that. They are not launching in the United States only. I mean, they've been around for a while. When you talk to them, I mean, did you get a sense of, I mean, it sounds like they're putting a lot of money, right? I mean,
it was, 9 figures.
That's how weird was that, yeah, right? Because you and I have been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of press releases. Nobody ever puts 9-figure deal. To me, that was a power play. Like, that was very specifically worded, because normally it's just a multi-year, multi-million-dollar agreement or something
right,
like that. For them to come out and say a 9-figure deal, that has to be like them puffing their chest a little bit, saying, right, like, hey, we got money, we're coming to play.
Yeah, I mean, that may very well be the case. You know, this sport has a long history of attracting whales, you know, and a lot of them coming. I mean, I was, you know, shocked that in 2017 we still had the PFL. You know, we still have the forces behind the PFL coming in and putting in, you know, tens of, you know, p- putting up $1 million, and now it apparently it started a trend. You know, $1 million paydays.
Oh, we got to get to that 50-cent payday.
Got to get to that, of course. But it's obviously a gamble. Live content is clearly still drawing a premium,
right?
And the rub is always in the return on investment. You know, if they can get enough people to sign up. You know, when you talked about the scheduling, remember when UFC went on Fox Sports 1? Fox Sports 1 was new.
Right.
That was one of the reasons why the UFC became, their futures became so deeply intertwined.
True.
Because this one didn't have a lot of other stuff.
That's
you
right.
know? They were kind of, again, putting it together piecemeal, and they were running a lot of filler.
I kind of forgot they helped launch that network.
They really did.
I totally forgot about that. You're right.
And the subscriber base, the subscriber fees were not, I mean, they weren't even close to what ESPN was getting. Now, of course, ESPN was forced to do a major course correction because, like, I think a lot of successful properties, it's like they were kind of hit by this too. You know, they suddenly found that they couldn't just print money. You know, they couldn't just, you know, put anything on and continue to get that $4 subscriber fee. So, you know, they started cutting and getting, you know, tightening the belt. So I think this is kind of, we're kind of like maybe part of the, you know, this is the first wave.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an experiment, and we'll see how things, we'll see who's still around, you know, in a year. You know, it
so
could
true.
Be that they do, like, you know, a year's worth of programming and they decide that it's just not worth the investment and they go back to soccer. You know, they focus on soccer, which everybody loves, I
right.
hear.
Yeah. Maybe not in the United States as much, but around the world.
I'm getting into it, though, man.
I do love soccer.
You're more of a soccer fan, but actually, you know, I have been – you have the Portland Timbers.
I was about to say, that's a successful franchise.
It
up
really
there.
Is. And actually, I only until recently did I start to get invested, and I get it more now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I'll ever get, you know, there are certain sports, like, not my thing, but the local connection.
Yeah.
I get it more now. I don't think I was talking to Ramani about this today. I don't think I will ever get pro wrestling.
I don't either.
I can't do
and
it.
And I don't fault the people that do. Like, I'm not trying to sit here and go, it's stupid.
Yeah.
But I don't understand either. And the one I really don't get is the people that like pro wrestling but don't like MMA. Like, if you like fake fighting, why wouldn't you like real fighting?
I do not. I mean, I think from what Ramondi was telling me, it's about, I think once you get past all the theatrics, it's more about the way, or it's about the construction of the theatrics. It's about the performance. It's about the way a certain performer takes certain.
Mark Raimondi is a highbrow hipster wrestling
fan. He really is, you know. But that's what you geek out about stuff, right?
You geek out, right?
And then it's not about, you know, how they did the suplex or whatever. It's about how they set up the suplex and how their character, you know, did. It's like, how do we get on this topic?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's sports. People like sports. Live
phenomenal.
Sports. Yeah.
So did you? Last thing I want to ask you about DAZN. Did you get in your conversations? Did you get any kind of indication of what is success for them, or like how it's going to be measured? It's just notoriously private, right? It's like Fight Pass never shares numbers, and
right. They remember when Invicta actually, I think Shannon dropped the numbers for the first one,
and then
it was like that was that.
Don't do that again.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because there's a lot of benefits to keeping this stuff secret. You know, you can make a lot of different claims to the public, which may end up helping your case. So I don't necessarily fault them for not telling me what it is, but I mean, the basic gist of it is, you know, customers, we need them,
right?
You know, it's not much simpler than that. And at $9.95, if they added some other stuff, maybe it might be worth it. I don't know. We're in a different position because we expense it.
I was gonna say it is weird for us because, like, when and I do think about that sometimes, and I'm like, you know, when you're trying to weigh in on what the value is and what the, you know, is it worth it, it's like, well, we're probably not the right people to ask because it doesn't even really come out of our pocket.
We don't sacrifice. I mean, I can't imagine paying $300 a month for a cable bill.
Right.
I just can't imagine that. I don't. I mean, like, I wouldn't let that happen. I can't imagine it was something that was that important to me.
Yeah, I think my DirecTV during the month when I'm paying for the NFL season is like $225 or something like that.
That is ridiculous.
It is.
But
it
hey,
is
more power ridiculous. To you. I mean, you have all this choice. I mean, my question is like, how do you? What? I mean, dude, you and I, but you more so you. You live on a screen, so yep. How do you go? I find it hard to go home at the end of the day. Go home at the end of the day. Roll down
walk
the,
out of yeah, the walk living out room. Of the living,
yeah, whatever. And just watch a screen for another 8 hours.
No, you know what, man? I really don't. It's for my wife more than anything to so that they and that she probably only watches like four channels. I try to spoil and make sure they can watch whatever they want, but. Now you're making me really think. I need to rethink my cable bill.
Cut the cord, man.
I need to take a look.
Go right, outside.
Let's talk about this car. Go outside. What? Get out of here, man. I'll go outside and watch the TV I have outside on my patio.
That's
all right, let's talk about this main event. Gegard Mousasi versus Rory McDonald. It's a super fight, right? It's Rory McDonald trying to be a two-division champion, which is cool, especially considering what he's about to embark on with this welterweight Grand Prix, which is crazy. You talked to Scott Coker a little bit about how this came together, and I think even he said he had a little hesitation at first, maybe putting this fight together. But it doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel like they're grasping for something. I mean, it feels like a legit fight, at least from my perspective. I'm excited for it. I did end up picking Gegard. I do think he's not. It's not obscenely size difference, but it's significant. And I do think, Gegard's a pretty fantastic fighter, even if they were the same size, if we were doing that, hypothetical pound-for-pound argument. But, it is, the weird thing that struck me this week is, I mean, everybody's looking at Rory and be like, my God, if you do this, oh my, you might be one of the best pound-for-pound of all time. That's what every story, and it's true, because it would be amazing for him to move up and to have both these titles. And then, meanwhile, for Gegard, it's just like, so, it's a fight, huh? And I don't hear anybody going, dude, if Gegard beats Rory, you got to start looking at Gegard as one of the greatest of all. Nobody's saying that, and I feel kind of bad. It's just weird. It's like there's so much more at stake for Rory in terms of history and legacy and all this, and for Gegard, it's like, bro, you better beat that welterweight, or that's going to be kind of embarrassing for you.
Yeah, well, Gegard is never, he told us this, he's not into that, all that stuff. I think he wanted the title in the UFC because he knew it would mean extra money,
true.
A better financial future. But I don't think, Gegard has never been into the pomp and circumstance, so I don't think that really bothers him too much. He's a pretty mellow dude, but I feel like he watches the bottom line very closely. And so I think for him, this is just something. It's a nice little feather in his cap. It's a way to prove that he can beat another guy who's very, very highly regarded,
right?
Even if he is in a lower division. Also, I think he just might know that, if Rory tries to clinch him and do what he did against Douglas Lima, that weight is going to come into play.
I agree.
And Rory's not going to have an easy time doing to him what he did to Doug.
Yeah. What do you think Rory's best path is? Because, we think about Rory. Obviously, the first thing you think about is the bloody battles, the toughness. That's the iconic imagery of Rory McDonald, right? But I don't necessarily think that going toe-to-toe with Gegard Mousasi would be the right play, right? But as you said, if you get in that clinch game, then you got to deal with that size and that power advantage in there as well. So you think wrestling, trying to get Gegard on his back, you think that's the best path?
That was what King Mo did. Obviously a much bigger fighter and a much different time in Gegard's career, but that would be the path that I would think.
Yeah.
Or maybe you stay at range and you kick him. You kick the crap out of him, and then pick your spots to close distance, or you draw him in, and then you get the take. You get him to commit more in his combination, so the takedown is much easier.
Right.
That would be the best play for him. But
he did show good time. Like I said, he's not going to be able to treat Mousasi the way he did Lima, but he did show good timing with Lima, especially considering he was on a wounded limb at the time, to be able to still get the fight to the ground.
Yeah, for sure. I initially picked him, but then I thought about what it would be like when they actually clinched up. Mm-hmm. It's definitely an uphill battle, But, you know, for us and those guys are have a track record of coming up with some pretty good game plans and strategies. So maybe they have something planned that's going to expose Gegard or expose him to the area where he's weakest, which is on his back.
You touched on some stuff with Roy today that I want to ask. I was actually behind the camera. I was doing my best Ken Hathaway. but you touched on some stuff with Roy today about the weight move, you know, the change to middleweight and not doing it the way George St. Pierre had done it. I'll be honest, I missed those. I didn't know it. So what exactly were you alluding to? Because as far as I can tell, Roy just didn't cut, right? I mean, he looks pretty much the same to me this week, whereas GSP noticeably bulked up for his fight with Michael Bisping.
Yeah.
Is that what it was that Roy, Roy just said, look, I'm not going to add mass. I'm just not going to cut, basically?
Exactly. Remember back in the day when we were, you know, all debating about GSP and Silva and, you know, GSP's favorite thing to say was, I need time to get up in weight and make sure it's quality weight, basically, which means lifting a lot of weights, eating probably a lot of protein shakes that are not great for your ulcer.
As
we have since found out. And just calorie loading, you know, and then taking it from there. I think maybe Rory was like, that seems like way too much work and way too much struggle for what's not that significant of a gap.
Right.
You know, Gegard isn't a huge middleweight.
He's not, which is weird. Even though he's fought at higher weight classes,
he's never been a big fight. He's never been known for his size, like Lima would be. Lima's known for being a big welterweight, or Till.
Oh yeah,
you know, being
Till
a
with tower over him. It's weird to say because, you know, I was doing a radio hit the other day with the UK, and I was just kind of riffing. I hadn't really thought about what I was going to say, and I was like, Gegard's not that big of a middleweight. And then I'm like, in my head, I'm like, but wait, he's fought at like heavyweight before, and I'm like, but he's not. He's really not that big.
Yeah, no, he isn't. He's a skill fighter. He's a technique fighter. He has been able to overcome his a lot of physical disadvantages in bigger fights just because he's a very skilled guy. Because he's been doing it forever.
Ever. And it's weird. He's not that old.
He's not that old. He's one of those guys. You know, he was fighting in Pride. Fighting a Cage War, and like he's got a lot of high level experience for a long time, and I think for him, like the biggest threat is like burnout, you know, not taking it seriously, because you know you get to a certain point, you've seen it all, like and
just doesn't excite you, doesn't get you up anymore,
right? And I think Rory is obviously, you know, he's still out to prove something. He still wants to. First of all, I think he's chomping at the bit from only fighting a couple times in a couple years,
right.
You know. But I also think he has a little more skin in the game. I think Gegard's kind of on his way out.
I mean, he talked to you and me about retirement, you know. And I mean, I love the path out, the door that he laid out for himself, which Lovato Jr., he says that guy's number one. I think that's great because I do think Lovato Jr. is number one, but I was worried that Gegard would be like, but he's 8-0. What do I care about this guy?
Or that Bellator would say,
exactly. But I love the fact that he's like, yeah, I want that, and then I want Machida.
Yeah.
Provided Machida wins, and then he said, and then maybe Bader, maybe move up to light heavyweight and fight for that title, which would be, that would be pretty cool.
That would be great. And there, that feels to me like Musasi versus McDonald, like Musasi versus Bader in terms of the size difference. Like,
that would be significant.
That would be tough, and that would be an even worse problem to have, having that guy on top of
Bader's
you. Having
a big
that guy,
dude, man.
And he's great at takedowns, a real big takedown artist. So that's a tough ask. But, you know, again, this guy, you know, I think he's just at this point in his career where he's just like, fuck it, let's fight. You know, let's do this stuff. I only have so much time. Might as well make it entertaining.
Yep. I dig it, man. So it's a big fight, and it's cool. History potentially on the line for Rory McDonald. Gegard kind of laying out what comes next for him for the rest of his career. Then in the co-main event, we do get the fourth meeting between Quentin Rampage Jackson and Wanderlei Silva. again, I hope that the MMA is good. That's all I'll say. I hope it's good MMA. I will say that, I mean, gosh, Rampage is probably going to have 30 pounds.
30 pounds at least. 220, and then he's like 253 weighed in it in his last fight.
That's
And that's on weigh-in, so.
That's big, man. Yeah. Listen, Vanderlei, I love Vanderlei. I mean, if you grew up watching the sport or if you've been around the sport for a long time, there's no way you're not a Vanderlei fan. I mean, the pride run that he had, like, back before we knew that, you know, he was a nice guy, you know, all you saw was, like, this killer. And I mean, he'd never let it be known. He's actually a pretty good dude to talk to and hang out. You were just like, oh, man, this Maul. I mean, he was the guy. And I loved watching him fight, and I still do. But, man, this seems like – to me, it seems like a tough ask.
Have you seen his training video? Have you seen the video of him hitting pads?
It's not good.
It's not good, and I know it's hard to, you know – you can't judge from just one sample. You know, we have no idea. There's very little context to that. But it's hard not to, you know. It's like, it's the same way I felt when I saw Chuck hitting pads, you know.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago. The same kind of deal. It's like those muscle fibers have been, you know, they've aged.
The twitch isn't quite as quick anymore.
Exactly. And that happens to everybody. It's inevitable. And it's particularly inevitable for people who have been through what he's been through. So it just, I don't know. I don't see how he gets it done.
I mean, I guess the only thing would be if Rampage – now, you know, you had a pretty good interview with Rampage today. It's up on YouTube if people want to watch that, watch the whole thing. It's up on MMA Junkie as well. But you did the right thing, of course, which is don't start by talking about fighting.
Don't ask him about weight. Don't ask him about steroids.
Ask him about movies. Ask him about gaming. And it was good. He was relaxed. But, you know, he did point out – and it is true because he has always said it's not that he doesn't appreciate wrestlers. It's just that he hates wrestlers that basically lay and pray, that get on top and stall. If you're going to take me down, but try to advance position, try to, try to finish the fight through strikes or submission. I mean, I guess if he stood toe-to-toe with Vanderlei, he could potentially get clipped. I mean, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea for Rampage to utilize his wrestling in this fight, right?
I mean, he's not easy to knock out. Quentin's never been an easy guy to knock out. I'm looking right now. Quentin got knocked out, sort of by Mauricio Hua,
right,
by Shogun.
Yep.
And then he got knocked out by Vanderlei twice.
Right.
That's prime Vanderlei. That is the apex of the axe murderer.
I'm trying to remember what the testing policy was back then in Pride. I can't recall exactly what
it was. Nudge, wink, wink. You know, that was what it was. It was pee in the cup. Well, did you ever read A Fighter's Heart?
No.
I think Sam, I can't remember his last name.
Sheridan, right?
Sam Sheridan.
Yep.
Said that somebody came into the room and they peed in a cup and they just took it away. But it was like a Dixie cup. They just peed into the Dixie cup and they took it out of there. And I was like, okay, they tested. Stamp. It was like the USADA thing.
That's
it was
phenomenal.
Like I tested or something like that.
That's phenomenal.
So, yeah, I mean, that is prime axe murderer. That's the only guy to really stop him. I think he quit in the Shogun fight. I think he didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
So nobody's really knocked him out. He's got an iron chin. He's got a huge neck. I just don't see how it happens. It's possible, but I don't know. If we're talking about this fight, you know, as sort of a preview and trying to get people excited for it, it's like, yeah, you know, watch two of your legends, but, you know, get ready for some.
That's what worries.
Get ready for that sad hangover that comes when you're like,
either way. That's why we don't normally do this.
Either way, one legend is gonna be sad.
That is true. That is true.
You know?
I guess, you know, the good thing is that, again, the strides that Bellator is making, they don't need this to be their main event. This is a little icing. This is a little cherry, right? I mean, if this fight wasn't on the card, it's still a good card. It's
still a good card. Yeah.
So. Yeah. By the way, I'm looking at the odds now.
Good. Yeah,
Rampage minus 280. Vanderlei coming back at plus 240. That's according to Five Dimes. So,
but that could mean that there's just not a lot of money. Like, there's not a lot of money on the table, right?
Right. I would agree with that, but that's not a bad line. All right, but Steven, I'll tell you what's not sad. What's not sad? Mack Weldon. What is Mack Weldon? Well, the newest sponsor of the MMA Roadshow. We appreciate their support. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. Put even simpler, Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. I hadn't heard of Mack Weldon. They reached out to us, and I wasn't familiar with the brand. So we've done a little time studying up, and I'll tell you what, these people are fantastic. The mission at Mack Weldon is simple: to make sure all of your basics and beyond are smartly designed and shopping for them is easy and convenient. They told us we founded Mack Weldon because we wanted more out of our basics and always questioned how something so essential could be such a pain in the ass to buy. The frustration was real, and our eureka moment happened in a department store aisle full of brands that dominated our top drawer. Surrounded by a mind-numbing assortment of underwear and socks, we realized consistent fit and quality became a game of roulette, so we decided to take matters into our own hands. We started from scratch and engineered our own fabric. We made sure the design process was meticulous, so you can count on the fit being the same each time. We built a world-class customer service experience. The difference is in the details, so we obsessed over every stitch and seam until we'd reached our definition of perfect. Bottom line here, Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. You go online, you get things shipped, and you know at the MMA Roadshow how much we love shopping online. If I ain't got to get out of the house to go get something, I am all about getting it online. And they make the process super simple. And Mack Weldon will be the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants that you will ever wear. They even have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial. But you know what that means. They eliminate odor. They want you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair, just keep it. They'll still refund you. No questions asked. They'll give you your money back, but you can hang on to the product. That's how much they believe in it. Not only does Mack Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts look good, they perform well too. You can work out in them. You can go to work in them. You can go out on dates in them. Just everyday life. Mack Weldon is there for you. So if you want to give this a shot, do. Go to MackWeldon.com. That is MackWeldon.com. MackWeldon.com. And enter the promo code MMA Road. That is MMAROAD at checkout. They're going to give you 20% off your first order. Go check it out at Mack Weldon. It's premium. All right, Andre Korchkov versus Douglas Lima. Something that is pretty exciting. This welterweight Grand Prix. I'm excited about this welterweight Grand Prix. I really am. And it got even a little bit more exciting today when the press release came out that 50 Cent is somehow involved with a champagne brand. But anyway, here's the bottom line. Here's what's happening. The winner of this tournament's getting $1 million. So not only is the Bellator, you know, welterweight title on the line, which I thought was brilliant. I know there was debate over whether they should do it. I love the fact that that belt is on the line all the way through. So you know you're getting a champion out of it. You know, I love that fact. But now the winner gets $1 million. And it does say, by the way, the press release says $1 million in cash. And 50 Cent did, I don't know if it was $1 million. It looked like a lot of money. He did post something on Instagram. I'm not exactly sure what the message he was relaying was there.
What was he talking about?
I don't know who he was talking to. I don't know what he was saying. But he did have a lot of cash on the table. But I really do hope, and we were kind of joking about it this morning when the press release came out, but I really do hope they give somebody like $1 million in cash. Like not a big check to hold right up. You know, not just, you know, you get wire transferred later. No, no, no. I want to see $1 million. And I think it was Simon Simano's idea to have like the World Series of Poker where it's, you know, just stacked up on the corner over there. You know, it's right there in front of everybody, so everybody knows what you're fighting for.
Yeah.
You kind of had the idea of it coming down like confetti, at which point I said, you know, let's add the Pride win music in. And just, you know, as soon as the bell sounds, the music turns on and the money just starts raining down.
Why is it the Pride theme, by the way, and not Bellator's theme?
Well, I don't – do they have a theme?
They kind of do that, you know. That
oh yeah, 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 that's true. That's right. They do have that. No, it can't be that. It's got to be the Pride thing. Sorry, man.
In the pantheon of MMA, you know, theme or promotional themes,
it's ahead of IFL. Yeah. But you know,
what was the IFL?
Well, first of all, they had like a rap song. Remember back in the day where they had like people rapping on it.
Oh, and they had the fighters do it, right?
And then there was like one, yeah. So,
oh god.
Bellator's a step above that, but it's not quite memorable. But anyway, $1 million on the line. Douglas Lima versus Andre Korchkov kicks this off. I don't know. I mean, like, while to me, and again, this is Bellator coming together, while the heavyweight Grand Prix was kind of like bizarre and fun, I still like the heavyweight Grand Prix. I'm not knocking it, but it was more like kind of Japanese, you know, freak style matchups, and we're gonna have a, to me, this welterweight Grand Prix is packed with some talent, man. I'm pretty stoked for this fight.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and they got a lot of guys in there. First of all, they're answering a lot of questions right off the bat. They're not shying away from really compelling matchups right off the bat.
Yep.
Daly, MVP, Lima Koreshkov.
Do it. Don't wait. Don't hope wait. It comes together in
don't
the second
hope
round.
It comes together exactly. Fitch, McDonald, interesting. That's an interesting fight. And then you've got kind of the unknown bracket with, or the lesser known bracket with Neiman Gracie, Ed Ruth.
Ruth, though, hey.
Unheralded.
Ruth is the dark horse, man.
He really is.
He is very, very skilled, man. And if he can mature quickly, I mean, I do think he'll get by Neiman Gracie, and then he's got a tough fight after that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to definitely, I mean, he's, you know, I talked to him a couple months ago. He wants to, you know, step up and show that he's that guy and sort of break into that next level. There's no better way to do it than in this tournament.
Yeah, I agree. I like it. You know, we didn't get a chance to talk to Koreshkov today. We did get a chance to talk to Lima. You could tell, man, he wants Rory again at some point. He wants that to happen.
He was bugged.
Yeah, that was tough, man. I mean, if anybody doesn't remember watching that fight, I mean, I hate to say it, but I would say it to him, and I think he would agree. He gave that fight away.
He was too accepting of the takedown.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it. I hate this trend. It almost enrages me as much as when somebody rocks somebody else and then goes for a takedown.
Like, what are you doing?
It makes me crazy. But the other thing is when people do closed guard.
Closed guard.
Yeah.
Fifth round, tight fight.
Doesn't make
any
sense.
On your back with closed guard.
Yeah.
Ah, so frustrating, man. And I don't know if it was, you know, exhaustion or just a mental lapse.
Yeah.
But it made no sense to me either.
You watch flyweights and bantamweights fight, and they've got it down, man.
Yep.
Nobody accepts guard.
Hell
nobody
no.
does. It's always open. It's always butterfly. And they're always trying to use momentum to put them right
That's
back
it.
Where they were.
If you need to get closed guard for a brief moment to slow somebody down, or maybe you're rocked or something like that, and you're like, oh, hold on, I gotta tie things up for a second and recover.
Sure.
I got you. There are times for closed guard, but you're right, man. In this day and age where everybody knows jiu-jitsu, I mean, there's hardly anybody that like, well, my only defense here is to hold and wait for a stand-up. You know
right.
what I mean? There's hardly anybody at that level.
Yeah.
Most people have some kind of sweeps or transitions. And so, yeah, to settle on your back of a championship fight against a guy who's hurt, who if you get him back on his feet, can barely stand up.
Yeah.
And you're working closed guard. Like, I was shocked by that one, too.
Yeah, and I just watched it again the other day, and the fight really took a turn.
Mm-hmm.
It really took a turn because I thought that Rory was pretty close to being done. Couple more kicks, couple punches, and that fight is over.
I agree.
So I'm sure he's kicking himself for that, and he would love a shot at a do-over, and now all he has to get through is two guys, which, you know, he's either going to fight. But first, he's got Koreshkov,
right.
which he knocked out
yep.
the last time and pretty conclusively. So what's the I always think about this. It's like the younger guy doing the rematch. If the guy's younger, you always go with the younger guy.
Interesting.
The younger guy who's won.
Yeah. In fact, that's pretty shown track record, right? If you played out. Yeah.
I can't remember what I read it, but then he's got the winner of Daly versus MVP.
That's a winnable fight for him.
I think so.
It's a very winnable fight for him. No disrespect to either one of those guys.
No, yeah, of course. But when I think of their, you know, Daly, I think he could grapple Daly.
Yeah.
And that would
Agreed.
Be that.
Agreed.
And he could easily, you know, strike with him and come out okay. MVP, I think he could grapple. The grappling might be the difference there as
yep.
well. So
What a rebound that would be. Can you imagine if – now, I should say Koreshkov is a slight favorite according to the odds makers, but not by much. But what a rebound that would be for Lima if he could beat Koreshkov. Let's say beat MVP. Not that beating Daly wouldn't mean something, because it does. It means something. But I think beating MVP would have a little more cachet
sure.
to it, you know.
Yeah.
And then let's say Rory did make it, and then you beat Rory there. You win those three. You get revenge. and then the $1 million confetti falls down on you and 50 Cent starts spraying champagne on you. I mean, what a finish that would be.
Only one bottle. It goes for $1,700 a bottle.
That is crazy. So 50 Cent, there's a partnership. We're going to know more about it. I've heard that we may get to talk to 50 Cent on Saturday.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I've heard we may get to sample this.
Oh, not well. I am hoping, sir. That would be the most expensive thing by far I have ever sampled. But yeah, so there's a whole partnership here. There's a clothing line that they're going to work on together, but there's this champagne, and let me see if I can. La Chemin du Roi, maybe? Is that
okay?
Yeah, all sure. Right, there you go. It's a champagne, but yeah, we were talking to some Bellator execs today, and they dropped that little nugget. It's a $1,700 bottle of champagne.
Oof, God.
Holy Christ.
I mean, Cristal is usually about $300. Ace of Spades is like $800. But, you know, obviously there's huge variations in that. But $1,700. First of all, you're doing this you're rolling this out, you know, I'm assuming, to get an audience for your product, right?
Right, of course.
Your audience is a bunch of MMA fans. Like,
yeah.
Is this your target market?
How many MMA fans are trying? I mean, unless you're just trying to get Dana White's attention, like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, man, hopefully Dana's watching this and likes it. I mean, $1,700 a bottle—that's a very narrow market. Like, I don't even know where you would advertise for that. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's
Formula One magazine.
Yeah, there's some kind of very special high-end. And then you have it in the clubs, right? I mean, you'd have it in nightclubs, so like that one person that wants to come in and be like, I want the $10,000 bottle. Because obviously in a club, it's not going to be $1,700. It's going to be $10,000.
Right, exactly. You know? Yeah. Can you get in Vegas? I wonder. Can't get proper 12 yet. I don't know.
God. By the way, proper 12. See, I think Connor, God, I think that sells for like $25 a bottle.
Well, that would make sense. I mean, it's a similar price point to Jameson's. Yeah. Have you tried to look for it in Vegas?
I haven't yet. I mean, I do want it to, like, I'm curious, right? But I know, sure. like every journalist right now is like, oh, I'm going to try Proper 12, and I'm going to do it on the
You're
air.
You're mailing the marketing. Yeah, I write for so-and-so website.
But I would like to try it. I mean, I do like a good whiskey from time to time. I wouldn't mind trying it, you know?
Yeah. Do you get email solicitations from pot growers? On your USA Today account?
Yes. Started to get some, by the way. The man, we wanted to go, and I couldn't. I feel like I had to go out of town or something, but they were launching a pot beer that had, like, THC.
CBD
and it had, like, active THC
in it. Oh, really? Wow.
I was like, bruh.
That seems like a hangover waiting to happen, like a worse hangover.
Oh, I wanted to try it so
seems
bad,
like
though.
Liquid bad decisions.
We did get it. It would be liquid bad decisions. All right, rounding this thing out, Leander Higo versus Aaron Pico. A big fight here. As I said, you know, you kind of laid it out earlier, man. I think you said it perfect. Leander Higo, you know, a very well-tested veteran. I mean, not an old guy by any stretch, but a guy that's been around, had a lot of big fights against tough people.
He's 29.
It's crazy. But at the same time, you know, he is moving up a weight class, so maybe that, you know, gives Pico a little bit of an advantage. But I am so impressed by Aaron Pico, and not just his game. I mean, obviously his game. So, I mean, that dude is scary when he hits people to the body. Like, it is scary. The sound it makes and the things that it does to people, it's scary. But man, he is so well spoken and so confident, and I always say, and you get it, man, we've been interviewing fighters for years, I always say, and I don't know how you quantify it except that you just see it, there are people that are confident and there are people that are trying to make themselves believe that they are confident, you know what I mean? There are people that are trying to build themselves up and you can see right through it. That is not Aaron Pico. That dude has self-belief, and it's amazing. And I mean, I don't know how anybody could not be on the Aaron Pico train right now, but if you're not, if you're tuned in to watch this guy for the first time, now I'm not saying he's guaranteed to win this fight. He's got a tough one here, and I can tell you, Higo's team, you know, is all about, hey, we're gonna take out the Golden Boy. They've been saying it for a couple weeks. We're gonna take out the Golden Boy.
You're close with Eric too.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
So when you talked to him, you had a whole interaction with him that I think I missed.
Yeah. So while you were still interviewing Kerry Melendez, he came up to me. He's like, "Hey, man, you're gonna come interview us, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I told you, we'll be right over there." You know, but I've talked to him, like, even in Boise, they're like, you know, after they won there, and they were like, "Yeah, we're excited, but next week's where it gets really good." They're like, "We're taking out Bellator's Golden Boy." Like, Eric has just been all over it. Like, we got him. So, yeah. I mean, listen, Higo is no joke, but Pico's tough, man. I like this fight, and it's It's so tough for Pico because he just, you know, he's only four fights in. I do think losing wasn't the worst thing that ever happened to him. I mean, get it out of the way early, get it done, maybe alleviate some of the pressure, maybe alleviate some of the attention. But I think he's rebounded from that dramatically. I think that body shot team out in SoCal is, I mean, we saw what AJ McKee did. You know, you got Baby Slice out there, you got Joey Davis. I mean, Antonio McKee is doing some great things with that crew out there, and he's right there with them. But I am super high on Aaron Pico. But I think this is a great fight. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, hey, it's interesting though. It's interesting also how he ended up at Body Shop, which is a very underrated, underspoken of gym.
It's like
that's
the
been
odd
around
couple, man.
Forever. Yeah, but yeah, it's interesting because the one time I visited, have you been there?
I've never been there. I want to get. We got to, and maybe if you want to go down there, we got to get like you and a cameraman. You know, whether it be sure. Ken Hathaway, whether it be, we need to do like a little docu series with those guys.
We have to capture what they talk about in between training sessions
yeah.
because it's mostly about race. from when I was there, and I asked Aaron if it had changed at all, and he was like, "No, it's like." It's full on debates between training sessions, and you know it could be similar to other gyms. I was just really struck by it because also
I mean, Aaron like kind of came from privilege, right? I mean privilege.
Also, I kind of see him as like he's like a middle class suburban white guy, you
right?
Know? And that gym there's a first of all African Americans are very underrepresented in this sport.
Absolutely.
So the fact that you know. They're very well represented in this gym, and they're having conversations. You know, it felt to me like living in New York, like being back in New York. You know, talking, just having a much more balanced argument. You know, Antonio has an opinion about everything, and he will talk and talk and talk. He's like Kogan. But Mike Kogan from Bellator. But
we could have some interesting conversations.
We could
with Kogan.
Yeah,
completely off record,
but
non MMA related.
Yeah, but anyways, it's interesting that he went there, and I think it's a good sign because, you know, I don't think those guys take it easy on him. I think that you know they're working with him and they're making the best. Here's the interesting question: featherweight, AJ McKee,
mm-hmm.
also a featherweight.
Yep.
You know, Patricio obviously holds the belt right now, but
right.
I don't think Patricio. By the time, you know, they're 25, you know.
So crazy.
He could be out. So what's that future look like?
That's a good question. It's a really good question because, they seem like a brotherhood, man. I don't think that would be one that they're like, well, we got to do it. The belt's on the line.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they would. I mean, AJ last week, you know, he's saying, look, I'm the GOAT, man. I'm going to be there. It's my destiny. Maybe at some point being the GOAT means you got to take out the guy that's in your own gym.
And you can't see a lot of other fights. It's like the fact that Pico is fighting Higo right now, you know, it feels like a bridge opponent in a way that other opponents haven't been. It feels like there's not too many logical steps left for him.
There just can't be many people with their hand in the air going, give me Pico.
Yeah.
I'll take that guy.
Well, Coker just told Mark today from fighting that within the year, like, you know, a year or so, we could see him fighting for the title. So that's what, 2-3 bouts, maybe?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of moves left. You know, AJ, same thing. He was just about to fight Curran.
Yep.
Not a lot of moves left when you start beating ex-champions. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Man, I hadn't even thought about that, but you're so true. Okay. The two kickoff bouts on the main card. I do think you have Well, they're big favorites. Let's just be honest. Kerry Melendez is, by the way, a minus 1,000 against Dakota Zimmerman, and Gaston Bolanos is minus 600 against Isidro Gutierrez. So,
be honest. Have you seen Dakota Zimmerman fight?
No.
Okay. All right.
No. I don't even know if she has a pro fight. Like, there's well, there's debate over whether she's 0-0 or 1-0.
Well, let's find out.
They're not sure.
We're going off of Tapology now. Right,
we are. We use Tapology now.
I still use Sherdog.
I still go to Sherdog a lot.
Out of, yeah, you know.
I actually went through and compared. This is I got. So just what we're talking about. So I mean, MMA Junkie, you know, we put records in all the stories. For years, we used Sherdog as you know, Danced Up was like, hey, that's the record keeping I want you to use. But lately we've switched over to Tapology. They've done a fantastic job with their website. I think they've made some tweaks lately. I don't like as much, and I'm hoping they tweak again. But that's what we use. But you know, I just went through because for our rankings, I was checking all the records to make sure they match up. And now, granted, you're talking about 20 people across like 10, 15 divisions. So you're probably talking 250, 300 fighters. But there were like 8 or 10 that their records didn't match on Tapology and Sherdar. They were like one fight off or something.
Oh, interesting.
So it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, I remember I got involved. That was actually how I got into this, one of the ways I got into this business full-time, because I was working for Full Contact Fighter, and Kirik bought the Full Contact Fighter database.
Yeah.
At that time, Full Contact Fighter was the other records keeper.
I remember. That was a long time ago.
And Kirik did a very smart move and bought the FCF database and then put it on his site, MMA.com. Back then it was .tv. And went to the ABC and convinced them to be the official record keeper.
Right.
Smart, smart move.
Because they make money off that.
They do.
People have to pay to file.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So very, very smart move. But I honestly wasn't even using Tapology, you know, and I still kind of reflexively do it. I don't use MMA.com that often, but it shows here that she's 1-1. As an amateur,
yeah, there you go. So
she has her first professional fight. Carrie Melendez, on the other hand, is 2-0 as a professional.
We did meet Dakota today. Dakota works in an insurance office, I believe she said.
She's
full-time,
data entry. Yep.
But she, fashions herself a jiu-jitsu stylist.
She trains at a jiu-jitsu gym, but I'm like thinking to myself, like, well, where, like, is there a striking component?
I'm sure they probably have some striking. Right? Surely. Right? I mean, they have to. But you know what?
It doesn't really matter. I mean, they're fighting on Saturday.
Carrie Melendez was fun. I mean, you know, talking to her about, here she is, you know, this early in her career, main card, big opportunities, big expectations. But I liked her answer. You know, she said, listen, man, I mean, I'm Gil Melendez's wife. Like, I knew what I was getting. I knew that I was going to have attention. I knew that I was going to have the spotlight regardless of what I did. And I'm okay with that. It's not overwhelming to me.
Yeah. It's tough on her because, you know, she has to go around with that label. I feel bad for her in that sense that she has to just walk around with that for a while. It's going to be that way until she has that sort of defining performance.
Right.
But, you know, we talked about this before. Coker is very good at building people up.
Yes, he is.
He is responsible for Nick Diaz, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. There is no Nick Diaz, as he's known today, without Scott Coker. He got favorable matches. He's very good at building people the right way. So it's going to be a little while. And Carrie, let's see, how old is Carrie? She's 34.
She doesn't have all day.
She doesn't have all day. But, she can... You know, I haven't really talked to her about it. I think this is just she's starting out the journey.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
She's kind of doing this. She wants to see how far she can go. There's some uncertainty as far as the division that she fights in, because she was talking about.
She thinks she's probably a little too small for 125,
right.
But they don't really have a 115 right now. So
right, and I don't know why that is. I haven't talked to Coker about that.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine, you know, they could probably do it now. So, so here's something interesting, you know, since we're kind of talking about Bellator as a whole, is this this UK TV deal/streaming deal that got announced today with the UFC. They're with a company now. BT Sport is gone. They're going to be with a company called 11 Sport, which I had never heard of before, so I had to research it. 11 Sport is an online streaming platform, so it's all streaming. They're going to get all 42 of the UFC cards. I mean, they're going to be the exclusive content provider in the UK, which, you know, good for them. I'm sure they paid good money. Hey, we're talking about streaming is where it's at now, right? But it's interesting because, you know, it might have been kind of relatively little fanfare to American fans, but, you know, Bellator did announce that they're launching kind of a Bellator regional promotion over in Europe that's going to have 10 events a year. And to me, I was like, all right. I mean, no, whatever. But then when you think about it, it's like, okay, they're going to do 10 events per year. They're going to be localized, prime time, you know, in the right spot for that European audience, you know, 7 p.m., whatever the case may be. I mean, the UFC only has maybe five cards a year that are in the right time frame for the UK. So, I mean, maybe that makes the Bellator, you know, brand a little bit more attractive to a television provider over there, you know, a terrestrial television provider that could say, hey, listen, we want the 10 shows because we'll put those in our prime time, but then, you know, also give us the overnight stuff. And I mean, that seems to me, if the UFC, and again, the UFC is the dominant brand, there's no question about that, and I've always said I don't see Bellator coming anywhere close for a long time. I mean, they're just leaps and bounds. The UFC is in front. But I don't know. It seems like a chance to make up some ground, at least in that one market, if the UFC is only on a streaming platform and Bellator can get their product on a regular TV. I mean, this event is going to air live in the UK. Now, it's going to be in the middle of the night. But if Bellator has a brand that's airing 10 days a year, you know, live in prime time, and then you've got the overnight stuff too, and it's on TV and the UFC isn't, I don't know. It makes me wonder if maybe they can, at least in that market, Bellator can close the gap a little bit.
Well, Bellator has been good at, how do I say this? Like, it's like Bellator does shows, and they do shows that are profitable. Like, the way Scott does business is, like, he's not going to walk into something and have it be a loss leader.
That's right.
Because he's not in the same position as the UFC. And so he's going to do deals that are good for him and that make money off the bat, whether they have to sell the gate to the local promoter, you know, or they do it themselves. Yeah. They're going to do it in a way that is an advantage to them. It may not be the same on the same scale.
Right.
And it most likely won't be. But it perpetuates the brand. It keeps it out there and it makes the company money.
Yep.
You know, or at the very least, minimum, it breaks even.
Yep.
So I think about the UFC's time in the UK, you know, 10 years, you know, they spent a lot of money in the UK. They really tried to make the sport the next big thing. And I think they definitely saw some return on investment. But I'm wondering if this pulling back is an indication that maybe they just don't like the way the numbers look, that the return on investment isn't as great. It isn't good enough to really make it a priority. When I looked at the TV rights map from that lender presentation a couple years ago,
Before the sale, basically.
Before the sale, UK was not a strong market in relative to other ones, like relative to the amount of fans that they thought that they had relative to the revenue that they were getting. It wasn't a big disparity. It wasn't like, you know, Russia, which has this huge fan base, it's way undercapitalized, or like, you know, Brazil, that's doing just gangbusters business, or Canada back in the day, like when it was engaged, it had so many engaged fans. They're going to go where I think that they are getting the best return on their investment. And I don't have any inside information, but I wonder if this is, you know, if this is indicative of that, or they just think that it's not important to have terrestrial TV.
I mean, listen, we touched on it earlier. I mean, this is something that they've been moving towards for a long time, that they believe streaming was the future. I guess, you know, and maybe that's my own, I don't know if it's, you know, naivety or just stupidness to the brand, but I agreed. I always thought, of course, streaming is the future. But I guess I always thought it was going to be like streaming with Fox, streaming with ESPN, you know, still streaming with these powerhouses. And I guess, you know, that's what seems so weird to me is like, no, we said streaming is the future, and it might be, you know, a startup brand that we did ourselves. It might be some brand you've never heard of with DAZN. It might be 11 Sport that you've never heard of. I mean, like, I that's weird to me. Like, I always thought the streaming was going to be, well, yeah, ESPN is going to make ESPN Plus, and they're going to stream, but you're still going to align yourself with that powerhouse brand that everybody knows. And, man, it does seem like this is such an interesting time for the industry as a whole. Like both those, you know, both you. I mean, obviously, this is, you know, we got the Conor fight next week. That's going to do huge numbers, and of course, you know, as we sit here right now, we're talking about what a big week this is for Bellator and the DAZN, and oh, it's all coming together, you know, and man, they're making improvements. And then next week we're going to be sitting in Vegas around a table just like this, and we're going to be like, holy shit, the UFC is big because it's going to be Conor, and the traffic numbers are going to be insane, and we're going to be getting calls for radio hits, and you know, it's going to be madness, and we're going to go, what was I talking about last week? The UFC is the powerhouse. But yeah, it does seem like such an interesting time. I mean, a lot of this is going behind a paywall here with Bellator. A lot of UFC is going behind a paywall with streaming. And I don't know, man. I'm intrigued. It's I understand that a lot of people say like the MMA growth isn't there anymore. And I feel that's definitely the case domestically, but I don't think you can do year over year, double-digit growth forever in any industry. But I do still feel like there's room to grow internationally. I just wonder how, like, this shift to streaming for everybody, like, is it going to be a negative? Like, is it going to be taking eyeballs away from the sport where people don't follow it as much?
I don't know. I mean, this sport has always kind of lived on the internet. Mm-hmm. That's the good news.
That is true.
So maybe they're going to try, instead of trying to get the right TV deal and playing that game, which is its own game, they are figuring that, you know, they can convince people to just simply, you know, pony up a little bit of extra money to see it online.
How many, you only have Hulu? Well, so you have Hulu, and that's what, like $30 a month or something?
Yeah. So
but
I
then
have,
you also have Fight Pass.
Yes.
You also have, do you have ESPN Plus yet?
No.
I went ahead and got
it. On the list.
On the list. Now you've got DAZN.
Not yet.
Because you're here. You're going to need it once.
I'm going to need it, yeah.
Anything else?
Netflix.
Netflix? That's five. Five streaming services.
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
That's crazy, man. So I guess, are we going to need Fight Pass next year? I guess we're only going to need Fight Pass if we want archival footage.
Great question.
Or if we want the third-party stuff, because I don't think they get the third-party, which we still will, because we'll
for
still
your
cover
purposes.
Like Invicta. Yeah.
And also, it's a great research tool.
Oh, it's a great research tool.
Like, remember, way back in the day, like, when are you going to release those UFC 20 through 30?
And yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
That was the lingering thing, definitely. And now it's amazing that, like, how much content they've
it
amassed.
It is. Almost like 20,000 fights or something. It's crazy. Yeah. So, but okay, let's say we still need it because we still want to watch. We're hardcores and we still want to watch it. So you need $10 a month for DAZN, $5 a month for ESPN Plus, $5 a month for Fight Pass. Because I think, right, if you get ESPN Plus, I think you get a deal on it. Maybe not. Let's say no. Let's say it's still $9 a month. So 25 bucks a month just for your
25. Yeah, and then.
And then you still got to have a streaming service. Oh, fuck yeah, pay-per-views. Not
which
to
are 60 bucks
need,
now.
You still need regular ESPN because some of the shows are going to be on regular ESPN. So
right.
What's the cheapest you get regular ESPN? Through like Hulu or something? Because you can't order it a la carte anywhere, right?
The package I have is $40.
Because you can't just say, I just want to buy ESPN.
This is the reason I did this, because you have to get them all in a bundle. You know, it's a la carte is not yet a reality. So if
so
you want
$40 a month,
yeah, 40.
Plus the 10 for DAZN, plus the 10 for Fight Pass, plus so $65 a month.
Yeah, that's a cable bill
just for MMA.
But that's cable bill I would pay I'm putting myself in the shoes of a hardcore fan,
right?
You know, somebody who's
I'm paying $225 right now,
sort of in that love affair with the sport. $65, you know, I would pay that.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. It's a cable bill basically.
Yeah.
And, add Netflix and you got Hulu, Netflix, you got a lot of, content, maybe convince a friend to give you an HBO password.
Well, I was going to say, I have HBO and Showtime also. Oh, dude. All right, this industry, as it's developing, is going to have to be refigured out, right?
Yeah,
somebody's
sure.
going to have to now that there's so many, there's going to have to be like bundle options.
There's also just so much good content out there.
Yeah.
It's like, We're in a period now where we're fortunate in a way, because there's so much good content and so many good ways to completely waste our time.
Oh, man. Well, the time we need to waste tonight is going to drinking some more frosty beverages. So I purposely didn't factor in a bunch of interviews and stuff because I still need Cold Coffee to edit this even though he's on vacation. But I decided to make this the easiest edit ever and just have an intro and outro and get it uploaded so that he can enjoy his vacation. So we'll keep this one relatively short this evening. I appreciate the discussion, and Bellator 206, I'm looking forward to it. I really do think this is going to be a fun card. Sign up for DAZN if you haven't. It's going to be free. I don't even think they make you give your credit card. They make you give your credit card number for the. Of course they do. What the hell am I talking about? Yeah, I signed up the other day, but I did it kind of quickly. I don't remember doing it. Yeah, I don't actually remember doing it. And it was my company credit card too. So
yeah.
Cool. I know we're spoiled.
We are.
All right. That's all you need to know. Thanks for listening.
All right.